It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cricket Unfiltered. It's a momentous occasion for Australian cricket. They have won the World Test Championship at the Oval, beating India on the fifth day by 209 runs. I'm Menas. I'm joined by Paul Dennett. Paul, what a day for Australian cricket.
G'day, Menas. G'day, everyone. Yeah, a joyful day. Really exciting, really pleased. Really pleased with Scott Boland and really started to buy into the cult figure hero that he has become. And yeah, I enjoyed it more than I expected. I think maybe the acrimony of the day before probably lent a little bit of extra determination to my fandom. And I was really satisfied that Australia won it.
So now Australia have won every major ICC trophy, 5 50 over World Cups, 1 T20 World Cup, 2 Champions Trophies, and now the World Test Championship. It's quite a record for Australia. The trophy cabinet's pretty full down in Jollymont.
Well, the trophy cabinet's pretty full in Australia. I don't want to single out a Melbourne suburb.
Brilliant stuff from Australia. And, you know, this really is a huge achievement for Pat Cummins. He took over the team when Tim Payne was sensationally had to quit the role as captain on the eve of the Ashes 2 summers ago, and he's now led Australia to this World Test Championship despite being a fast bowler, despite having no captaincy experience. But he's done it. You know, they've beaten England, South Africa, the West Indies, Pakistan. They drew in Sri Lanka and they lost a close series in India, and now they've beaten India at the Oval. So there's no argument. They are the undisputed best test team at the world, best test team in the world at the moment. Doesn't mean there aren't others close to them, but they are number one.
Yeah, I agree. I think that congratulations to India for beating Australia in Australia during this cycle, and that test match at the Gabba that they won was absolutely fantastic. But I do think, as I have said for a little while, that if there was to be a test match on neutral territory, that if Australia was playing anyone, Australia would start the match as favourites. And I think that the result of this game has borne that out.
Let's go back to the start of play. I said on our day four wrap that I thought the match would be over by lunch, and they were just a few minutes behind that. And it started off sensationally for Australia when Scott Boland dismissed Virat Kohli for 49. Steve Smith diving away to his right, taking an absolute gem, no doubt about this one. And that was his 157th catch for Australia in the outfield. He's level with Tubby Taylor and just behind Mark Waugh and Ricky Ponting. But that was just an absolute corker.
I reckon it was the moment of the match, and maybe the moment of the World Test match cycle, that India had looked very, very much at ease. The pitch had looked pretty flat during the morning. And there was, you know, I think it's an example of the respect that I have for this Indian side, that I, as an Australian fan, really thought, geez, they are a chance of actually winning this. And so for that catch to be taken, and what a catch from Boland, as I said, a bowler that is fast becoming my favourite favourite cricketer in the game. It was a stunning moment. And then the exclamation mark was added to it when two balls later, Jadeja nicked one through to Carey as well. It was off the same bowler.
Yeah, so with Jadeja out for a duck, and he can be such an annoying player down the order. And at that point, you know, India were 5 for 179. And from there, it was hard to see them winning the game, but certainly a draw wasn't out of the question. But then wickets fell consistently. Rahane was caught by Carey off the bowling of Stark. Just a bit of a waft outside the off stump, and he was out for 46. And then Shardul Thakur went for a duck, absolutely plumb in front to Nathan Lyon. And at that stage, India were 213 for 7, and they were just falling they were falling very quickly, Paul.
Yes, it did happen very quickly in the end. That partnership, the very brief partnership that sort of started to begin after those first two wickets, an example of the respect that I hold for India. I started thinking, they could still make something of this. But yes, it was very satisfying to see it all happen just before, a few minutes after the scheduled lunch break, but they held the lunch break back because of the fact that India were 9 down. So, yeah, you're right. Ultimately, it was pretty much Australia winning at lunch on the final day. And I think, as I said in the podcast yesterday, when people come to look at this match in years to come, the margin of victory will be one of those that obscures how competitive a game it really was. And probably India can feel that Australia rested that advantage on day one. For the rest of the match, it was pretty close. But Australia, having had their noses in front on that day one, never really surrendered the lead.
No, not at all. And then just closing out the innings, Umesh Yadav was caught down the leg side off Stark. Good catch by Carey. He had a good game, two good innings, some smart catches, and grabbed that one. And then Bharat hit one up in the air offline. He was caught. And then Siraj, the last wicket to go down, fittingly caught by Scott Boland, who has made such an impact in this World Test Championship cycle. And so he took the catch. Lyon got the wicket. And at the end of the innings, the wickets were shared around. Cummins got one, Boland three, Stark two, and Lyon, the best figures, 4 for 41. And I think sort of looking at the match as a whole, Paul, you're right. You know, that head innings on the first day was decisive, supported by Smith. And I thought it was a good team effort with the ball from Australia.
Yeah, I think Australia played really well. I think my overarching view is, despite the criticism that I have given of the pitch and despite my disappointment at the way that the Cameron Green catch was treated yesterday, that it was still a wonderful occasion for Test cricket. And anyone who needed any kind of convincing that when you give Test cricket the right conditions to flourish, and I'm trying to sort of make the point that, yes, I have been very critical of the pitch, but aside from the uneven bounce, there were things that I suppose to like about this pitch, that it produced some pretty attractive cricket. I still think that this form of the game definitely has a future, and I'm not one of these people that doesn't like T20 cricket. I love T20 cricket, but I really do think they are the two forms of the game that can persist and thrive into the future. That T20 is absolutely fantastic, but I think if Test cricket is allowed to, wither away, then an enormously wonderful part of the sport will have gone with it. So I hope that this convinces everyone that, you know, it wasn't the thrilling finish that we might have got, but for 4.5 days, for this to have been enthralling for many, many people around the world, I think proves that Test cricket definitely has a future.
Yeah, spot on. And I guess one of my only disappointments with this match was I did think that you could tell both teams were a little bit undercooked when it came to Test cricket and were just a little bit off the pace. And, I'd like to see them maybe, played a bit more Test cricket leading up to it. I know it's hard, but I thought it affected both teams a little bit. But anyway, Australia come out on top. Travis Head, player of the match for his innings of 163. And you know, I sort of think where does India go from here, Paul? Because, you know, this is the second World Test Championship final in a row. They've got, I wouldn't say an aging team, but certainly when you look at Pujara, Rahane, Kohli's declining test form, you know, this new cycle could signal a change of the guard. And, you know, you and I, when we were covering the IPL, saw so many young, exciting players. It's not like they'll be struggling to fill the spots.
Yeah, I don't think India's ever going to be struggling at test level. You're right. They've got such a production line of wonderful talent. It's a question of making judicious selections as to who should fill those spots. And, you know, to have made the final 2 years in a row, or, well, two cycles in a row, and to have lost in two highly competitive matches, you know, they can't be... Obviously, it's very disappointing for Indian fans, but I don't think they should be too disappointed. I'm sure that in the years to come, India is going to be one of the nations that is the most successful as far as the World Test Championship is concerned. It's an interesting point you make about their preparation. I suppose, in hindsight, it would have been great for them each to have had a little bit more time in England, maybe one genuine game against a county, maybe pushing this back a week. But, you know, the schedule is such that you push this back a week, the Ashes get pushed back a week, the 100 gets pushed back. It's kind of, it's very difficult. So, you know, I still think that there are a lot more positives that world cricket can take out of this week than negatives.
Definitely. And India have to be commended for making two finals in a row, being, you know, such a force in test cricket. And this was a close match. And although the margin doesn't look that way, you know, at times there, you and I are very nervous about, well, I was especially at times. So, yeah, great match, but Australia deserving champions. And I sort of, it does feel like a World Cup win as a fan, doesn't it, Paul?
It's an interesting one. It's sort of halfway in between. I'm not sure how to feel about it. But I think that as we've said on these shows, the fact that it has been on Channel 7 in Australia, which is a free-to-air network and one of the two big networks, has made it feel much bigger than it otherwise might have been. If it had been on Foxtel, then, you know, the cricket fans would have seen it, but I don't think that the average person would have sought it out. The fact that it's been on one of the big two networks, I think, has been significant. And I think that it has... it's always very difficult in the middle of the football season for cricket outside of a Winter Ashes series to raise its head above the parapet and get the Australian mainstream interested. But I think this match has, and I think that probably the controversy of the catch, although I deplore it, probably has raised the profile of the game. And then, again, I think it's a sign of the respect that Australia has for India as well. The fact that Australia has beaten India will give sports fans a lot of satisfaction. They know that, you know, you don't beat India easily these days.
Speaking of what it might do for the sport here, I mean, it couldn't have happened at a better time, virtually prime time on a Sunday night, Australia push and get the win. I'll be very curious to see the rating figures when they come out over the next couple of days, because, I mean, it's just about perfect.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that Scott Boland took that key wicket was significant as well. I think there's an enormous amount of affection for him. There is they have a Sunday night Twilight Aussie Rules game on. I never know. So I'm not sure whether the people of Melbourne and Adelaide and Perth would have had it live. It might have been on the affiliate Channel 7 Mate, but certainly... around the country, there would have been plenty of people who are casual cricket fans only tuning in, seeing this. I think it would have had a fair degree of cut through.
And this is a real legacy piece for this team. It's strange because it's on the cusp of an Ashes, but if you just, you know, take it aside from what's to come, you know, this is a real sort of a really important moment for this unit that they haven't really had that signature moment in Test cricket. You know, they've dominated at home, but they haven't got the big away series win. And this is probably it. You know, this is the one for Cummins and Stark and Warner and Smith and Khawaja and all the senior players to really sort of reflect on. And, you know, if they go on and win the Ashes, it could just be a magical summer.
I agree. I think that it's a major moment for this generation. I do slightly I find it slightly disappointing that there's from a semantics point of view, I would like to be able to say that Australia won the Ashes in 2019. And had it been a draw and had England retained the Ashes, I would say the same thing. I don't like the distinction of having to say, oh, no, Australia didn't win the Ashes in 2019. They retained the Ashes. No, they won the Ashes in 2019. They drew the series, and that entitled them to win the Ashes based on the fact that they were the holders. But I get your point that 2019, drawing the series, felt like unfinished business, and I think that this is now a major moment for this team. I still do think that what happens in the Ashes is also going to be just as important for the legacy of this team as well, though.
Yeah, just a great moment. And I sort of think of who have been the stars, and you mentioned Boland, but I guess Khawaja's comeback, it might have been the key piece in that top order, because, you know, he came back in that Ashes series and since then has just been such a rock at the top of the order. And when you consider the way Davey Warner's been struggling, you know, it was really important to have a strong opener up there. So, you know, that's been a key sort of piece, I think, to this team sort of surging to this title.
I agree. Usman Khawaja and Travis Head. I think the two of them have buttressed the enormous sensational abilities of Smith and Labuschagne. And you've now got four players in the top six who have been scoring a prolific amount of runs in recent times. So it says something when the weakest two batters of the top six are David Warner, who is a fabulous player, and Cameron Green, who Greg Chappell said may well be the most talented youngster he's ever seen since Ricky Ponting. So I think that's obviously half of the success, the tremendous batting, and then the bowling lineup that has been so consistent for so long of Hazelwood, Stark and Cummins and Lyon. And then as Hazelwood has faced a few injuries in his last cycle, Boland has slipped in and has, not missed a beat. If anything, he's been one of the standout players as well.
And I just want to give a little bit of an honourable mention to Matt Cooneman and Todd Murphy, who I thought really excelled on that tour of India. So, you know, Australia's cupboard is pretty stocked now. And I just want to run a stat by you, Paul, that Cricket Cosmos shared earlier, and it was the most centuries by a batter after 100 tests, and the most is Sunil Gavaskar and Sachin Tendulkar with 30. Well, Steve Smith's got 31 and he hasn't even gone past 100 tests. I think he's played 97 tests. So we really are seeing a legend in front of us.
Look, I'm not going to criticise you because I know you mean well, but I find that an offensive thing for you to state.
Because of Bradman?
Don Bradman, after 52 tests, got 29 centuries. It's like, you know, we've just had a wonderful moment of Australia winning the World Test Championship and you've insulted me in that way.
Oh, well, I mean, it's not my fault. The wall robbed Bradman of another 50 tests, probably. Maybe not, maybe 25 at that time. Anyway, well, that is it, I guess. Anything else you want to say, Paul, before we wrap this up?
No, I just think that I have thoroughly looked forward to and enjoyed every night. I was very disappointed with the way that the catch went down, but that's one of these things. I've criticised the pitch, but again, I think those are two fairly minor things in the grand scheme of things, that I think that this test match has been a wonderful spectacle, and it shows that when test cricket is shown the love that it deserves, I would put it up there against any other form of sporting entertainment in the world. I go back to in 2005 when Simon Hill, who is an Englishman who's come to live in Australia, he's mainly a soccer commentator, a really good one, and SBS got him to sort of host the Ashes in the studio. And I reckon he took the job based on the fact that, money's money, let's do it. By the end of it, I remember him saying, almost with a tone of incredulousness in his voice, saying, I don't think there's a better sporting contest in the world than what's going on right now. And I think that that's what test cricket can do. Yes, there are dull periods, but when it all comes together and when it is all good, I would defy anyone who's sat down and watched every ball of this match and taking it all in to walk away thinking anything other than this is a worthy spectacle. This form of the game should be loved and should be given every chance it can to flourish for the next 146 years.
Wow. Moving stuff. Just want to close off a little bit on the discussion around Cameron Green's catch yesterday. I don't know if you heard, but Ricky Ponting gave a very good explanation in the commentary box saying how the umpire basically said he thought the fingers were under the ball. And by the way he interprets the laws, that's out. And it wasn't like the ball, the fingers were always under the ball from his interpretation. And I would just be curious the sanction Shubman Gill gets for his tweet. I said he should be banned for 3 tests on Twitter, and it's an absolute bloodbath for me. But, yeah, where do you sit on that one?
Yeah, I saw that explanation that Ricky Ponting and Alistair Mitchell gave, and I reiterate my comments from last night that the laws need to be rewritten. The laws should be crystal clear. There shouldn't need to be talk of interpretations and the way that the law is applied. You should be able to look at it and take it at face value. So there should be an extra couple of sentences added in to make it absolutely clear exactly how it is to be regarded. And if it is to be that, you know, if the ball has been caught and then there is a brushing of the grass that is incidental and not assisting in the actual taking of the catch, then that shall be considered as out. Something well worded along those lines should be sufficient. And I think it's very disappointing that it has come to this point that that hasn't been the case, and that, you know, it's been the subject of so much scrutiny in the last couple of years, the soft signal and the way it's done. I think that the lawmakers should hang their heads in shame that they haven't made a better fist of it. And I feel really, really great sympathy to Richard Kettleborough, who, you know, made his decision in good faith and I think made the right decision, has been castigated all around the world. And I feel really, really sympathetic towards Cameron Green and the way that he's been booed and he did not deserve it. And I think that I can understand if I was Shubman Gill and I saw that photo and I thought, well, I have been robbed here. I can understand the anger, and I can understand the anger of Indian fans who think that the decision was incorrect. But I think that there does need to be some form of punishment. And I wish Shubman Gill all the best, but I tend to agree with you that I think that there should be some form of suspension applied for that tweet. And that, you know, you can come back from that bigger and better than ever, but I don't think that you should be able to make that sort of criticism with impunity.
Absolutely. Well, what a week for Test cricket. What a win for Australia. It's been thrilling. So many great highlights. But, Paul, I think we should wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We've got lots of Ashes coverage coming. We're going to do a full preview of the Ashes in the middle of this week, so stay tuned for that. We'll also be doing daily wraps. We'll be covering the Ashes. It's going to be fantastic. Go and follow us on social media. I'm at AMeners on Twitter. Paul, where can they find you?
Well, I think at the moment, just look for us at Cricket Unfiltered on TikTok. I've got my Ashes top 55 countdown. I've been talking about it. It's coming soon. Life has got in the way, but I'm about to start recording it. So please join us to follow the top 55 along there. And if you're in Sydney or anywhere in Australia or the world, have a look at our live show date. It's in October. It's going to be a great show. And tickets are selling now. We'd love to see you there.
Indeed. Well, that's it from Cricket Unfiltered. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us throughout this test match. It's going to be a lot more to come. But in the end, congratulations to Pat Cummins and his team. They are the World Test Champions.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.